for churches today get so up and up they can't mention these old songs and don't sing no more out of these old songs, because each one of them have a great blessing and a past history and they will never get old. Blessed be the tie that binds was wrote by John Fawcett. John Fawcett, several years from 1740 when he was born down to 1817. John was a pastor in England. He served a little small church for 7 years. And we know at that time the salary was very, very meager, and he could barely get by and feed his family on that small, small salary that he had. The church was very poor. But it made up for it for his warm fellowship and their faithfulness to him and also to the Lord Jesus Christ, and made the difference, the love. But after 7 years, John Fawcett was called to a larger church. So he loaded up his wagons and his family and that old mule and wagon and stopped there in front of the church, take a last glimpse of the old little church. By that time, the little small congregation note he was leaving. So the people, they came by as they gathered around his wagon, and they began to cry, love him, and just tell him what a blessing as a pastor that he had been to them those 7 years, and how that he had changed their lives by the word of God and by the touch that he had. And it touched John Fawcett's heart so deeply, and the love moved him so much, and the warm fellowship that that church had for him. He unloaded his wagon and stayed with them. And he wrote this hymn, "Blessed be the tie that binds." I wish I could sing like my Marshall can, but I can't. But as she plays this song, I'd like for us to pray and just think about this song, "Blessed be the tie that binds us, and the love of this fellowship that we have here at Pleasant Hill." I believe I can be like old John Fawcett. I appreciate you so much in this congregation. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, here this day for this congregation. Father, for blessing us so great, so merciful throughout the years. Father, we are going to enter into a homecoming. And Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, that we have a homecoming with the sweet fellowship that we have here at this church. For the prayers have been offered up so many times, for the ones that I've mentioned already on our prayer list. For those who are so sick, Lord, and cannot make it here today. Father, we just pray, God, that your spirit will be with them. Your presence, we know they'll be there. And Father, we want to thank you for everything we do in the name of Jesus here. That our lovely Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, could be honored with all the glory that he deserves. Father, we just want to thank you for the people that wrote the hymns and these great songbooks. The history, Lord, of their lives and what they mean to each and every generation that passes by is willing to take these songbooks and these hymns and sing them and feel the softness, feel the warmth as these beautiful songs are sung. We thank you here this morning. If we had someone could sing this song, I wish they would start singing now. Maybe we can help you as we sing this song. Let's stand, please. Please. Thank you, Ms. Carmen. Brother Marshall, for your prayers, the people's here this hour. This morning, homecoming is the title of my message. Homecoming. Philippians chapter 1, 3, 4, and 5. Homecoming means a bringing back the fellowship. The Pleasant Hill, also our families, need to come back to the love. Thank you for Pleasant Hill for the homecoming that we're going to have. But not only that, you see, in our country, they need to be a coming back. They need to be a coming back to Pleasant Hill. We have a lot of members that needs to come back. A lot of family members needs to come back. But also in our country, there needs to be a coming back to the Lord Jesus Christ. We make a lot of investments in our country, in your families, all different ways. But the greatest investment that you can make is whenever you make an investment in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, for our children and our family. Pleasant Hill Homecoming. What does that mean to you? It does not mean today what it used to mean just a few years ago when churches had homecoming. People would come back home. It's a place where they was raised, a place where they got saved, a place where their family. It's a place, the church that they remembered of their growing up. They need to come home. And we need it so bad. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3, 4, and 5. Paul had a great, great church that he loved so very much. And that was a church at Philippi. And I kind of walked in the shoes of Paul this week as I began to study for several hours about the church that he thanked God so much for, Philippi. That I think the same way this church Split Hill. For the background and for the foundation, for the fellowship that we have at Pleasant Hill. Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I walk in those shoes. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy, I walk in his shoes. For your fellowship in the gospel, from the first day that I was saved in Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, It says, until now, Paul was not saved at Philippi, but on the road to Damascus. But he started that church at Philippi from the first day unto now. Thank you, Lord, for a reading of his word. As I said, it's not the same thing today of homecomings that we used to have a few years ago. For no other reason, I remember when homecoming, whenever I didn't even know the Lord, when I heard about homecoming, I'd make sure I was there. I mean, Rudolph Dennison and Gary Dennison, they're not with us, but and Armin, all those Dennison boys. I know with Armin and Rudolph, we'd walk these old roads, and their family went to church out here at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. Mr. and Miss Dennison, I called them. And we'd make sure that we was around at dinner time. When we go to Mill Creek Baptist Church, that old church out there, we'd make sure we was there at big meetings, and that was called our homecoming, or what we would call our homecoming. It was time for a meal. But it's not the same anymore. I mean, even when you have a big meal, people are not concerned about the homecoming and be together with their fellowship as they used to. Every person needs to come to their homecoming, and we need to send them, let them know. We got a lot of people on this church roll that's not with us this morning, and we need to make sure if we can, they will be with us. We need to take interest in the ones is on our church roll for the fellowship. Now, I have on glasses this morning. Without these, I'm kind of blurred in my seeing. And I know I see a lot of you with glasses on this morning. And some of you probably have contacts if you don't have glasses on. Well, what is the purpose of this? Because things are not in focus when I don't have my glasses on. When I put my glasses on, things come into focus. Well, in these verses, I hope you put your new Testament glasses on, and I hope things of this church and this congregation and this fellowship will come into focus with you, that you might pass it on to some of your families and your loved ones to focus how that a fellowship should be. I know that Billy Graham was in crusade several years ago coming to a town for his crusade, and he always had critics, as all of us has critics. So a man was criticizing him. If Billy Graham comes to this town, he'll set the churches back 200 years. And old Billy Graham wrote back. He said, "Well, I'm not intending to set the church back 200 years. I intend to set it back 2,000 years. If we ever need to go back and be set back, we need to be set back today. Lord, the church needs us so much. If we look with our New Testament glasses on and see the church 2,000 years ago, I wonder, is it the same as today? Or do we need to go back? The Bible gives us pattern and principles, the way intended for the church to be. Now, this Philippi was Paul's favorite church because of the love and the warmth and the special care that they gave him. The special for all of us today. It was mostly a trouble-free church, but we know all churches have problems, always will, because they have people. If you find a perfect church, don't join it, because it won't be perfect when you join it. Because we are people and we have problems. But it was a fairly problem-free church at Philippi as Pleasant Hill. I thank you for the pleasantness we have in our congregation and for all the great movement we have for the love and the mercy we have for one another. I know that our last conference we had here, and Brother Stevie got up and he said he wanted to thank this church for a good conference. We always have a good conference, a business meeting. A lot of churches, they don't have good conference and business meeting. I'm looking for someone to be saved in some of our conferences. But we have a good conference. I appreciate that. I appreciate Brother Stevie for saying that. And myself also, I just want to thank you for just a good church. Verse 5 again expresses the thanksgiving that Paul had for your fellowship in the gospel from our first day until now. And I think me and Brother Marshall could say the same thing this morning. Fellowship. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, "And they continued to stand fast in the apostles' doctrine," that means teaching, "and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. They was there continuously," and they continued. Thank you that this church has continued on to the day. From the first day that I remember Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, you continued on. You continued in the doctrine. Now, doctrine means teaching. And we thank the Lord for the teaching that goes on at this church and have for the past years that has been by the side of this road. It said, thank God for y'all's teaching. Continued in that standfast. The apostles were the one was doing the teaching, the doctrine, and the fellowship of the Lord's Supper and the breaking of bread. Continuously, we thank you for the prayers that's been offered up. Thank you, Pleasant Hill, that we still have prayer on Wednesday night, that we offer up the people of the Lord that's sick, can't help themselves, and problems, we come in fellowship with prayer. And we appreciate the ones that comes on Wednesday night and make sure that these doors are still open in the future, as I have in the past, for prayers. I appreciate it. Paul said, I thank you that you pray our meeting continuously as we look at this church. Paul said they gave unto him the right hand of fellowship in his preaching, in his teaching. Thank the Lord that we can still do that at Pleasant Hill. When someone gets saved or move their membership, like I'm planning to get someone to do this morning, I hope someone's saved or someone will move their membership, and we're going to give them right hand of fellowship. What does that mean? Well, when they stand at the front or at the back of the church, whichever one you want to call it, the foyer, we come by and we give them right hand of fellowship. Some churches grow so big they don't have time to do all that. I'm glad that we still do that. Paul said they've done that at this church, give the right hand of fellowship. Then it says the Lord's Supper. That is a call fellowship. In the King James Version, it's called communion. That word is fellowship. We have the Lord's Supper. That is fellowship. Communion, it says. The Lord's communion is a picture of the outward that we have this fellowship of our inward relationship we have with the Lord. Homecoming. By the crowd, we pray that it'll be here next Sunday if we do what we're supposed to do. Paul was writing to this Philippi church in Philippi, and reminding them of how precious they are and the sweetness of that fellowship. I'm reminding you this morning of the same thing. Now, we know that fellowship means different things to different people. We say fellowship. Well, we say fellowship to these ladies, and some of them start cooking, and reckon they'll gather in with their cookbooks, and we say fellowship, they start cooking, and they know what the fellowship means. To the men, we say fellowship, and then someone will say hunting, and man, you got two or three people, they want to tell you about their hunting, their deer, and whatever else they hunting, they start hunting, and then you say sports. Well, a lot of people get caught up in sports, so you'll have some friends and neighbors and all the sports. When you say fellowship, you're ready to have some sports and ball and then fishing and all kind of stuff. You can find out where the best place to fish at and all kind of fellowship together. And the ladies, a lot of times, say shopping, and everybody's ready to do that but these us men. And then the young people, you know, whatever y'all fellowship is, popcorn, Kool-Aid, pizza, whatever it might be, fellowship. For each and every one of you, what does it mean to you? When we call fellowship for Pleasant Hill homecoming is fellowship, what does it really mean to you and your family? Churches intend to be a fellowship, koinonia. That means all in common, to share something together freely. If I had a quarter, which I'm about broke this morning, if I had a quarter, that is a koinonia. That means a medium of exchange. Anywhere in the world, I believe right on that you can carry a U.S. currency and it will be a medium of exchange. I know I've been across the border of Mexico several times, and if you've got any U.S. money, you can certainly buy anything you want with U.S. currency in Mexico. The quarter is something we all have in common. So fellowship, communion, we all have something common in this fellowship. Homecoming next week will have something in common. Fellowship, as we think about this, it is a shared life. It is a shared life. The essential ingredients is Jesus Christ, and he gives us what we need in the New Testament church for this communion and for this fellowship. As we come to Sunday school, is your fellowship of a morning, as you come to Sunday school. Sunday school is intended for our fellowship, for our communion with each other. The first thing is for evangelism. The second thing is the teaching the Word of God. And the third thing is to share the Word of God. This morning, a special fellowship. You are. Pleasant Hill is a special fellowship as you think about this. We enjoy fellowship in different ways with different people of different kind. But this is a special fellowship. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful by whom you were called. Called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see, this was a called fellowship, a special fellowship because Jesus Christ called you into this fellowship. That's the way you got here. That's the reason we're special. You've been invited to be part of the fellowship. God called you. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, he called you for a special fellowship. Christ, the fellowship which you are called. Sometimes people will not come whenever Christ calls them. I'm afraid we'll have some people that's not going to be with us next Sunday. When they're being called to this fellowship, they won't be here. You know what Proverbs 1:24 says? Because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hands and no man regardeth. God has called people to the special fellowship of the church. People have refused this calling. He said, I stretched out my hands. That means he's done everything the Almighty God can do. He will not force you. He's called you with this special calling, with a Christian fellowship. And it says, you have refused. No man regardeth. There'll be a lot of people that just do not care as they don't care this morning. But you're called in this special family relationship. A few weeks ago, it might have been last Sunday. I can't remember from one Sunday to the next Sunday what happens. I don't know. The Denison reunion. It was the last Sunday, so I don't know when it was. But anyway, Brother Gary Denison heads up that reunion. And I got a card through the mail that one day out of the year I get to be a Denison. Now, Sometime I get to be a Hecox and one day out of the year. But I got to be a Denison one day out of the year. I feel like I'm part of that old family. But I appreciate it so much. Well, I got a card in the mail. Then I got two or three telephone calls. And I had a good time. There's a lot of people there. Had a good time and all the dumplings and everything they had. But if no one had a called me or told me, or any of the rest of the people there, there's probably a lot of cards sent out. There's probably a lot of calling and asking family members, will you be there? Will you be there? Will you be there? Will we have our communion? How are you? And there was a lot of people there. But I can assure you, if nothing else is said, and y'all have y'all's a Dennis reunion next year, and nobody says anything on that same date, if nobody invites nobody, nobody calls anybody, nobody sends out no cards, I can assure you there won't be as many there next year as was this year, if nobody says anything. When we have a homecoming next Sunday, at the end of that meal, if I get up and announce next year on the second Sunday of October, as we've been doing it for years, we'll have a homecoming. If nothing else is said until that Sunday, no invitation, nobody invites, nothing is said, we just show up out there, I can assure you there won't be as many people there unless we invite, unless we call, unless we send cards, whatever we may do to get people to come. Well, I want to tell you, every time that we meet in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church is a homecoming. And if we don't invite, we don't call, we don't do what we need to do, there won't be as many here unless we do just exactly that. We do what we can do for the Lord. We do our part. God does his part. The numbers. 1 Corinthians 1:9 again. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, many times we know that maybe Christians or Christianity, people join the movement of Christianity, and they don't surrender to the man of Christianity. It's happened to a lot of people. People are doing things for Jesus Christ rather than sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ values the time that you spend with him more than the things that you do for him. For him. A church must do everything necessary in order to cultivate and to guard and keep a fellowship as Pleasant Hill. And it is possible for people to be in membership and be out of fellowship, as we feel like some people are now. They're not here. They can be membership but not in fellowship and not be here with us today. But also, you could be in membership and fellowship and come every time, as a lot of people do. Sometimes people turn it on and off. You are a changed fellowship. 1 John 1:6-7. And it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in light as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Church is characterized by fellowship or by friction. That characterizes all churches. Have a sweet fellowship or by friction. We should be very jealous and guard this great fellowship that we have here today with all we can. Now, there's people who would like to lower the Bible standards and pull us down and away from the Word of God. We refuse to do that at Pleasant Hill. We refuse to lower the standards of the Word of God. And I tell you, the churches that do lower their standard will never reach the world for Jesus Christ by compromising their conviction over the Word of God. They will never reach the world. A comforting fellowship, Philippians 2:1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bonds of mercy, the love and the fellowship of the Spirit of God. There's a spirit of fellowship that we have, and we appreciate so much. A spirit of fellowship, sharing spiritual things with other Christians, that emphasizes on salvation. Sunday, Sunday night, Sunday morning, and Sunday school, and Wednesday's activity. The warmth of communion that we have, this fellowship, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and 14. It says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit with you all. Amen. The fellowship is experienced by the filling of the Holy Spirit. The filling. We all have our gifts, but we all need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Because we have the wealth of this communion, we have all things in common. Yield to the control of the Holy Spirit of God. Well, how do we do that as a church? How do we do that as individuals to be filled? Every one of us needs to be filled this morning. How do we do that? Each day you get up, what do? Well, the first thing I do when I get a little food from the table, I go to my study. Then I can pray, Lord, use these hands today for you. Lord, use these eyes for you, these lips for you, these legs and feet and hands. And my heart, I complete yield and control to the Holy Spirit of God, and you will be filled with the Spirit of God. Now we leak. I leak. I need to be filled. You see, there's only one baptism of the Holy Spirit of God. There's many fillings because we leak. 1 John 1 and 3, it tells us, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We have a father-child relationship here at this church. God the Father, through His Son, Jesus Christ, for each and every one of us today. There's two families in the world, whether people want to recognize or not. There is a family of God and there's a family of Satan. You are the family of Satan when you reach that age of accountability. You're not saved. You're walking in the family of Satan. You have to be born again to be in the family of God. There's two families in this world. There may be two families in your physical family today. Some lost and some saved. Maybe the wife and the husband. Maybe the children. Maybe the mother and the father. There may be two families in your home today. There's two families in the world. It's a very worthy fellowship. 2 Peter 1 and 4 said, whereby are given unto exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partaker of this divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You see, it's a very worthy fellowship that we have in Christ Jesus. A divine nature. You have been called. You have received divine nature of God the Father. And I've been telling you on Wednesday nights, you'll chip off the old block because you're part of that old block, that rock of Jesus Christ. You have that divine nature. Thank God that we're not in this battle alone through the life that you and I live. We got someone to help us. It's a worthy fellowship as we depend on one another to help us. We go through problems in life and you will have them. But we got someone to go with us. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14 and 15 says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteous, and what communion have light with darkness, and what concord have Christ with Baal, or what part faith he that believeth with an infidel? Separation. When you're called into the fellowship with God, you are out of fellowship with the world. You are in fellowship with God. You are out of fellowship with the world. Now, let me tell you, anybody is in fellowship with the world is out of fellowship with God. And we have a lot of Christians are out of fellowship with Jesus Christ because they're in fellowship with the world. A wonder of this fellowship, Ephesians 5:11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness, but rather reprove them. Fellowship means that you share life. We have the fellowship this morning. You know what you're doing? We are sharing life with one another. You can't share life with someone that's dead. You can't share life with someone that's dead. We're sharing life with one another that is alive. Some members, as I said, in membership of the church, but they're not in fellowship as they should be with the church. Member of Pleasant Hill, they come, we thank you. But it's possible for someone to sit here, and some people might enjoy every minute, every song, every prayer, and set it soaking up the joy of the fellowship we have this church. Some people may be bored by sitting here. And they some that usually are. You know what? A lot of time the pastor can tell on the faces of people? There's some people just bored and just suffering through it. How much longer we have? My beans might be burning. I might need to go do this or might need to go do that. But are you really enjoying the fellowship and shared life with your brothers and sister this morning? Praise God that we can do this. The filling of the leadership of God, the loosening of the fellowship, and also the Holy Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Thank you that we have the liberty here and the freedom at Pleasant Hill. Way back when Brother Darrell was pastoring this, me and him shared this several times, and even before them, before I was even called to preach, every visiting speaker that come, revival or whatever else they came for, always said, and just about every one of them, always tell me and Brother Darrell, me since Brother Darrell's not with us, or Brother Marshall, I felt liberty to preach at Pleasant Hill. Brother Richie Adams told me several times, as he'd been with us several times, I just feel the liberty to preach here at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. That's because of you, of your life. There's a different feeling. I tell you, someone can know it, walks in this building, can know the fellowship and the sweetness of this fellowship. When the preacher stands here and preaches, has never been here before, the liberty and the freedom that we have. But also we see this sacrificial fellowship. Philippians 3:10 tells us, that I may know him. Paul already knew Jesus Christ, but that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. That I might know him. Paul already knew him, but you see, a lot of people knows about him. They don't know him. Thank you, Lord, that we know him, the suffering of his fellowship, the shared suffering they have. Shared life with others. When you share your life with others, there's a sacrifice that you must make. There's a sacrifice that you must make. Always a sacrifice involved in sharing your life. There's a cost to you. Worship is sacrificed when we share our life. You see, next week, as I said, we're going to have a homecoming. Did you know there are going to be a lot of sacrifices next week? Ladies probably have to get up earlier. There will be a lot of work. There's a lot of things to be done as an ever church service, but especially we have something extra or something special as we have homecoming. Homecoming, that fellowship is going to be a sacrificial fellowship. There are sacrifices made throughout the week that we have a service this morning. There's a lot of sacrifice. A lot of people put a lot of sacrifice into this service this morning to make it possible. You see, the bulletins are made up. We got people over there in children's church, some in a nursery. We got people up there looking down on us. The songers, the piano player, Brother Robert, the ushers, your prayers, they're sacrifice to be made. Next week will be even more sacrifice of our homecoming to share. You know, mothers, it would be like cook a big meal for your family, and about 1/3 of them shows up, or 1/4 of them. I tell you, there won't be a mother in here or a mother to cook that their feelings will not be hurt. Knowing their family could be there, they just would not come. Don't you think what it does to our Lord and Savior? When a meal has been prepared, and I'm not just talking about our physical meal, but you know, God prepares a meal through his servants, me and Brother Marshall. I work many hours preparing this meal. I work just as many hours on Wednesday night when we only have a handful of preparing the meal. We must prepare it. Jesus Christ says, feed the sheep. Me and Brother Marshall must be ready to feed the sheep anytime they show up, regardless if it's 1 or 1,000, to feed the sheep. Next week, we're going to feed the sheep two different ways. Brother Richie Adams is going to feed from the Word of God, and all the ladies and part of the men, they're going to have a feed from the table of the Lord. And I hope we have more people than we've ever had before, because I know we've got a lot of sickness. People come to church, and a lot of times people come to church and they see, what can I get out of it? What kind of program do they have for my children? You see, when people come and see what they can get out of church, they come in for the wrong reason. It's not what this church can do for you. It's what you can do through your church for the Lord Jesus Christ. What you can do through your church for the Lord Jesus Christ. A church is a fellowship of love. If people don't find love in a church, pray tell me, where are they going to find it? If we don't love one another like we should, you think they're going to find it on their jobs, out in the world, maybe in school? If we don't find it in church, where are they going to find love? See, there's a sacrifice. You know, there's a sacrifice involved when you get married. There's a great sacrifice involved. You know what you got married when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You said, I do to Jesus. And you're the bride. And you said, I do. And there's some sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for his bride, but also, as you know, husband and wife, there's some sacrifice a bride needs to do for the groom. They're always sacrificial in the time of Gilead. You sacrifice our time and our talent and our treasures. 1 Corinthians 8 and 4, praying us with much entreat that we should receive the gift and take upon us a fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Philippians 4, 14 and 15 says, notwithstanding you have well done that you did communicate with my afflictions. Now you Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel when I departed from Macedonia, no such communication with me of any such concerning giving and receiving but you only. Paul did not expect any money. But this church gave him money anyway. He referred the work. No other church took up this collection and took care of him and his concerns. And he appreciated him so much. And he thanked him for this beautiful fellowship. As I thank you this morning, and Brother Marshall, I know also, is thanking Pleasant Hill. There's a homecoming. As that beautiful hymn, as we played, blessed be the tide that binds. It said, I walked in the shoes here of this man. And we thank so much John Fawcett. Blessed be the ties that binds. And I'll tell you what, all of us sort of understand what it means. Blessing it be the ties that binds us together. Greater he that's in you than he that's in the world. And I know a lot of people have my feelings hurt and they quit coming. Someone says something, have their feeling hurt, and I'm just quit and I'm not coming back to church. You know what I tell them? When someone does more to you than you've done to Jesus Christ, you got a right to stop, but until then you don't. And I want you to look what you've done to Jesus Christ. He did not stop and back up. Not my will, but thy, O Lord. Until someone does you worse than what we've done to our Savior, no one has a right to stop. Hurt my feelings. You better grow up. And understand, whenever you let the devil separate you from your church, when you get separated from the congregation that God has called, you're headed for trouble. You're headed for trouble. And there's a lot of people in trouble, a lot of families in trouble, because they will not yield to the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ and will not yield to his church. A homecoming. Blessed be the tie that binds, the sweet fellowship that we have at Pleasant Hill. And we need to guard this, and I thank you again. As we come here for a song of invitation, if God has spoken to you and you do not have a church, you need to have a church, a fellowship, a family to come to. If God has spoke to you and you not saved, the first thing, you have to be saved, to be in the fellowship. You have to have a calling, and God has called you this morning. If you're here, you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, have not accepted Him. If you have accepted Him and just not have not come forward, you need to come forward. Because He set a time out for you to come and have a fellowship, a place to come this morning. As we stand and sing this beautiful, beautiful hymn, I have decided to follow Jesus. If you have decided to follow